Good evening and welcome to a slightly different space than what we're used to on Wednesday evenings, and welcome to those of you who are joining us over live stream. We are in the sanctuary tonight. There is another group using the theater, so we had to pivot, which we are used to, but I'm glad we did. It's lovely to be in this space in the evening with the candles glowing, and it seems appropriate in this season of Advent, which is a season of waiting and preparation in which the light gets a little brighter each week as we walk through the season. So I'm glad that we are all present together in this time of contemplation and prayer and singing and worship. As we begin, I want to take a moment to introduce, if you haven't had a chance to meet Reverend Chris Donald. He and his family are part of our West End family. Since they moved here to Nashville, he's taken a job as the chaplain at Vanderbilt University. And we are blessed by your presence, and their daughter Wesley's upstairs in choir. So he will bring us a word tonight and lead us through some of the verses of the prophet Isaiah that speak to us during this season of Advent. As we gather in this time, I would invite you to join me in singing this beautiful hymn of longing that Matt has already set the tone with for us. Number 211 in your hymnals is O Come, Emmanuel. And let's sing together verses 1, 6, and 7. I invite you to stand in body or in spirit as you're able. Join me in the gathering prayer. We come from a world of darkness. We come from a world of weariness. We come from a slumbering world. Strengthened by the Spirit, we come to awaken our souls and watch for the coming of Christ. You may be seated. We are in the first week of Advent, and in worship on Sunday, we lighted the first candle of Advent as a symbol of the hope that Christ is bringing into the world. So as Chris lights this first Advent candle for us, let us find hope in the light that is coming into our lives and into our world.
The scripture lesson this evening is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I really like working with college students. The theme of Advent this year here at West End is hope for every generation. And one of the things I love about working with college students is that they remind me of how old I am. In my mind, I'm perpetually, 21 years old, fresh-faced, out of college, going into the world. And then I talk to them and I realize that I'm pretty old. But it's really nice because they're also unafraid. They're unafraid to ask big questions. And I had a student in my office the other day, a student who's seeking, a student who has questions. I think a student who really wants to believe. And he said to me, "What's the deal? What's the deal with your God? Look at all the things that are wrong with the world. Look at all the things that are wrong at Vanderbilt. Look at all the things that are wrong in Nashville. Look at the war in Ukraine. Look at the people who are starving. What's up with your God? Why won't your God do anything about it? If God is as powerful as you say, shouldn't God fix it? God could fix it in an instant." It's a good question. Because the truth is, if we look at the scripture for this evening, that seems to be exactly what God's doing. God has raised up the mountain, Mount Zion, the mountain of God. God has raised that mountain up. So it's the highest of all the mountains. It's the center of the world. God dwells there. The people are coming to it. And not just the people of God, but all people are coming to God's presence, to rest in God's presence. And God has ended war. Their swords have been beaten into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. So then the question becomes, why are we reading this now? Why are we reading this at Advent? Advent's a time when we tell that story over and over again. That's very different from a God who raises up mountains and a God who creates peace across the world. It's a story about a baby born in a stable, in an occupied and conquered land, to probably an unwed mother, whose only witnesses are the workers on the lowest rung of the socioeconomic ladder and some strangers from a faraway land. That's the God that we tell a story about at Christmas. My daughter loves that story. We got, of course, as soon as we got back from Thanksgiving, we had to get out all of the Christmas decorations. We had to get out all of the Advent calendars, which we have a lot of somehow. But one of her favorites is, it's like those felt boards that we used to have in kindergarten. And you take a little figure out and you stick it on the board each day. So it's just this empty stable, and over the month you fill it in with all the people. So when we first got it, I was showing her how it worked and how we would fill it in. And almost every day now she runs in to it and says, "Tell me the story again, Daddy." We tell this story about this child who comes into a dark and lonely world, who seems as far as possible from a God who raises up a mountain, a God who creates peace in all the world. As I was thinking this week, I came across this poem. It's called BCAD, and it's by U.A. Fanthorpe, the first woman to be nominated to be professor of poetry at Oxford University. This was the moment when before turned into after, and the future's uninvented timekeepers presented arms. This was the moment when nothing happened, only dull peace sprawled boringly over the earth. This was the moment when even energetic Romans could find nothing better to do than counting heads in remote provinces. And this was the moment when a few farm workers and three members of an obscure Persian sect walked haphazard by starlight straight into the kingdom of heaven. Our God is a God who can raise up mountains. Our God is a God who brings peace in the world, but not like that, with a baby born in a stable. I read a story this week by Heidi Newmark, who is a well-known author and a Lutheran pastor of an inner-city church, and she was telling a story about her granddaughter had noticed a homeless man sleeping on the top step of the church that Pastor Newmark serves, and they had been talking about it, and so she was pretty aware, thinking a lot about the homeless ministry that their church had and the ability that they had to care for people, and that, gosh, she wished that she had 50 more beds or 100 more beds, that they would be filled, and they still would not be enough, because conquering that issue means helping millions of people across our country, and she was beginning to get overwhelmed by it. And she was walking by the church one night, and she noticed the figure sleeping again on the steps. But she noticed this time that the man was covered with a quilt. And one of the signs of hospitality that their church did was there was a woman who made quilts for everyone who came to spend the night at their shelter. They were given a quilt. She had stage 4 pancreatic cancer. She worked as hard as she could to finish quilts, and this was one of those that she had finished at that time. And the social worker who kind of kept watch over the shelter told Pastor Newmark that that night, as one of their residents, Raven, had walked by this man sleeping on the steps, she had gone inside, pulled out her bed, taken her quilt, and carried it outside and laid it over the man, because she figured he needed it more than she did. That's how our God works. In kindness and in compassion, in love and in mercy. This Advent is a time for us to think and recenter on what that means. I would love it if peace broke out tomorrow, if swords were beaten into plowshares. And the idea of stopping the war in Ukraine by myself seems overwhelming. But what I can do is carry peace with me wherever I go. I found also this week, as I was trying to think about what I would say, this Advent Credo. And it's by David Berrigan. Some of you may recognize his name. He is a Jesuit priest and a sometimes peace activist, but he's actually a peace activist and a sometimes Jesuit priest. But he wrote this. He founded an organization called Plowshares that's about nuclear disarmament, works for nuclear disarmament. It is not true that creation and the human family are doomed to destruction and loss. This is true. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It is not true that we must accept inhumanity and discrimination, hunger and poverty, death and destruction. This is true. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. It is not true that violence and hatred should have the last word, and that war and destruction rule forever. This is true. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It is not true that we are simply victims of the power of evil who seeks to rule the world. This is true. To me you have given authority in heaven and on earth, and lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. It is not true that we have to wait for those who are specially gifted, who are the prophets of the church, before we can be peacemakers. This is true. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. It is not true that our hopes for liberation of humankind, of justice, of human dignity, of peace, are not meant for this earth and this history. This is true. The hour has come, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship God in spirit and in truth. So let us enter Advent in hope, even hope against hope. Let us see visions of love and peace and justice. Let us affirm with humility, with joy, with faith, with courage, that Jesus Christ is the life of the world. One quilt doesn't save the world, but there is one who does. Our day star, our day spring, and our morning star, Jesus Christ, who's the life of the world. Amen.
During this time of reflection, we invite you to contemplate and hold what we have just received. If you would like, these candles are here. There's a lighter up here. One quilt doesn't save the world, but it embodies the kingdom. One small candle doesn't fill up a room, but many candles make a difference. So if you feel led to light a candle as a sign of a prayer that you offer, as a sign of your hope, as a sign of your faith in this God who's made known to us in Christ, we invite you to do that during this time. Thank you. God of peace and hope, God made known to us in a baby, born to poor parents in an occupied land. You have placed before us the vision of the prophet Isaiah. You've placed in our hearts the hope of a world of peace, where swords are beaten into plowshares. You have gifted us with the voice of one who reminded us the value of a small quilt. And you have reminded us of your nature that is love, known in big and small ways. And so, in the light of your love, we collect all of these, our prayers for the world, our prayers for our community, our prayers for those whom we love and are closest to in this world, our prayers for your church, and our prayers for ourselves, knowing and believing that you are at work in each and every life and in our life together. It is in hope that we pray, O God, and it is in hope that we join our voices together in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing song is Emmanuel. You can find it on page 204 in your hymnals. Let us sing once again this song of longing, this song of peace and hope, as we await the one who is with us.
When I was teaching school, they told us that you had to repeat things 8 times for students to remember it. And so when I have an opportunity to say this in front of people, I always do, because maybe they'll hear it from me enough that it sticks. This is a blessing from the United Methodist wedding service, but I think it's perfect for us at any time. Bear witness to the love of God in this world, so that those to whom love is a stranger will find in you generous friends. Go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.